He ruined everything. Walter and Gracie were on their honeymoon in Sherwood Lake, California, but it was ruined by a noisy acorn woodpecker. And he was outside their cabin. He was outside their cabin, and he made their life miserable. And Walter wanted to shoot the woodpecker. And Gracie said no. Gracie, you see, was pregnant. Not with a baby, with an idea. That idea. Walter and Gracie came up with the cartoon Woody the Woodpecker. 40 years later, Gracie said it was the best thing that ever happened to them. That annoying woodpecker that frustrated them and made their honeymoon terrible. Have you ever experienced a pain, a sorrow, a heartache, a difficulty, and wondered, God, why is this happening in my life? Let me ask you a question, sort of a philosophical question. Is God a sadist? Does God get pleasure from watching us in pain? Is that God? No, that's not God. So if God is, there is a reason for the things that we're going through. The difficulty we're going through has a purpose. God wants to use it in our life. A man named Armin Geswin said this: when God is about to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. When God is about to do something magnificent, he starts with an impossibility. I love that. You have a difficulty in your life? Then God wants to do something great. You have an impossibility in your life? Then God wants to do something magnificent. Is there room in your life for the impossible? You say, there's an area of my life where God needs to do something that I think is impossible. You got room for that? Where do you need God to give birth to something new in your life? So that's what we're looking at this morning. The impossible happening and God birthing something new. So, before we get into this story, the angel has just appeared to Mary. Imagine you're 15 or 16 years old, you're by yourself, and boom, an angel shows up and says you're going to have a baby. Here is her response, Luke 1:38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. How do we apply that to our life? Be ready for God to use you. Be ready for God to use you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were on a three-ring respond. And I forget which service they worked for, but he had to answer the phone call within three rings, and then obey, report to a certain place. He had to answer the call in three rings. I thought, oh wow, that's we need to be ready, three ring ready, to respond to what God wants to do through us. And notice what Mary said in Mary's comment. She said, first of all, what are the first two words of her response? I am. It was personal. Need to have a personal relationship with God. There's a tendency to talk in plural language. We this, and they, and we. Mary didn't say, we are the Lord's people. What did she say? I am. For Mary, it was personal. But then she went on, and she said what? I am the Lord's. And that has to do with possession. See yourself as God's possession. Would you be able to sell your neighbor's house? Would you like to sell your neighbor's house? Could you? You can't do that. Why? You don't own it. The one who owns it gets to say what happens with it. If we belong to God, if we're God's possession, then God can say whatever he wants to us and we obey. Right? So Mary saw herself as the Lord's. And if the Lord said to Mary, you're going to have a baby, she says, I guess I'm going to have a baby. And then the third thing I see in Mary, she said, may everything you have said about me come true. She gave God permission. We need to give God permission in our life. And you may say, give God permission to do what? Yes, exactly. Give God permission to do whatever. Here's the best response to God. God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? God, I dare you to pray that to God and see what God does. It will be amazing. Give God permission. So what happened? Mary has this prayer, this poem back to God. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he has made this his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever. So, just poof, off the top of her head, she comes up with this poem. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to stop and you're all going to write a poem. Just kidding. But could you do that? How could Mary, just like that, write a poem? Where did it come from? So, we need to stay ready through the gestation period. How? Notice where Mary got her poem. We're going to read through a bunch of scripture to see perhaps where Mary got this poem. Mary said in 46 and 47, oh, my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in the Lord. Where'd that come from? Quite possibly 1 Samuel 2:1. Then Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. She said, for he took notice of his lowly servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. 1 Samuel 1:11. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. She said, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. Psalmful things. Who can compare with you, O God, reaches to the highest heavens. You have done such wonderful things. Who can compare with you, O God? 50, verse 1. The Lord, the mighty one, is God, and he has spoken, he has summoned all humanity from where the sun rises to where it sets. Then in verse 50, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. Psalm 103, 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. His mighty arm has done tremendous things, she said. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. Psalm 89:10, you scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. Mary said, he brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. 1 Samuel 2:7, the Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up. Mary said, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. Psalm 107, 9, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Verse 54, Mary said, he has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. Psalm 98:3, he has remembered his promise to love and to be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Mary said in verse 55, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Psalm 105, 8 and 9, he always stands by his covenant, the commitment he has made to a thousand generations. This is the covenant he made to Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. Where did Mary get this? From God's word. Mary was a student of God's word. How? So, the discipleship in Jesus' time, at this time, when Mary was young, this is how they did discipleship. Boys, ages 5 to 12, memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Memorized. By age 12, memorized. Girls didn't do that. Girls memorized at that time Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Proverbs. Notice how much of what she said came out of Psalms. She would have had that memorized. And then boys after that would go on to memorize the rest of the Old Testament. And girls generally, after that, in a few years, would go on to get married. So I know what you're thinking. There is no way I could ever memorize that. You're wrong. We could go around this morning and we could talk about songs. Lyrics of songs. I could start a song from the 60s or 70s and most of you could finish it for me. Right? If you didn't have that music and you focus from age 5 on memorizing scripture, you could do it. I'm not that bright. And you knew that. When I was a youth pastor, my daughter was 3 years old, and maybe 4, and the director of the children's ministry came to me and said, we're thinking about having your kids, the kids in your daughter's age group, memorize the books in the Bible. Could they do that? And I was like, no, I don't think they could do that. And then she did what most people did. She ignored what I said. And she did it. And in a few weeks, all those kids memorized all the books in the Bible. And I was like, what? That's amazing. Mary memorized scripture, and when something happened, she knew scripture and she knew what to say. What falls off your tree when somebody shakes it? Have you ever had somebody shake your tree? What fruit falls off? What happens when somebody rattles you? What fruit falls off? In August of 2015, Diane had her first cancer appointment. And we thought it was an appointment. It turned out it was like 4 or 5 appointments, different people. And the last one was a psychologist, a counselor. You know, and we got done talking with her. We walked to the elevator, and we were just walking on the elevator. And I looked at Diane with a question on my face, and the question was, how are you doing? And I looked at her, and her response was simply this: though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Diane had just had her tree shook and shook and shook, and that's what fell off. We need to be, like Mary, students of the word. We need to feed on God's word. We need to feed on God's word. Because that's your life. And you would say, well, no, my life is working here and having these kids and my family. And these are my... No, that's your life. Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47. Moses, at the end of his life, he's just about ready to walk up the mountain and he's going to die. He says this, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are what? Your life. It's your life. You may say, yeah, I've read the Bible once. I know what it says. That is like saying, you know, I breathed once. I know what breathing is. I don't have to breathe anymore. You know that's a ludicrous statement. God's word is our life. Let me ask you, is there a lack of power in your life? Do you lack the resilience you'd love to have in your life? Is temptation kicking your butt all over the field? You need to read God's word daily. Now, that won't eliminate all the issues in your life, but it'll give you the tools you need to smash them. See, how does God do that, you may ask? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped, what does that mean? Well, the same root word is used in Matthew 4:21. See if you can figure out what word that is. A little farther up the shore, they saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. Same root word is in that root word, repairing. Repairing. Do you have anything in your life that needs to be repaired? How is repairing done? God's word does repairing in our life. It repairs us. It repairs us. Another word, that word is also used, a root word is also used in 1 Peter 5:10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. You have an area of your life that needs to be restored. God's word repairs and restores. You know what's valuable? You know what's really valuable? And I would love to do this. I see these big old homes, brick, two-story, and it doesn't have aluminum overhangs. It has all this carved woodwork all around it. And you see those big old homes, and they're not efficient, right? And they got single-pane windows. And I just look at one of those, and I go, you know what I'd love to do? Is just go through that house and completely gut it. And build it over from the inside out. And restore anything that's weak. And then put good plumbing in it. And good wiring. And all that stuff. And then rebuild that house from the inside out. That would be really valuable, right? Because it's got all the classic charm. But everything is up to date. Wouldn't that be valuable? That is exactly what God wants to do in your life. God wants to repair and restore your life through His Word. God is birthing something in you. And He wants to do that work in you because He's got something new that He wants to come out of your life that you never imagined. Mary wasn't thinking the day before, you know what? I think I would like to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And I think I would like God to ruin my life. You might be surprised I just said that. But let's go on. What happened with Mary? See, with real pregnancy, and I'm speaking secondhand, I have been married to a woman who was pregnant 3 times. And so I know secondhand that that's difficult. And there's all kinds of things that goes with being pregnant. Sickness, morning sickness, fatigue, headaches. So Mary faced a number of other challenges as well. We need to be prepared for challenges. If God's going to birth something new in you, we need to be prepared for challenges. Matthew 1, 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Here's how you break the engagement. Engagement was a big deal back then. He would have to publicly file for divorce. You don't just say, I changed my mind. To break a betrothal was you had to file for divorce. And Mary was pregnant. Mary could be stoned to death, right? Because that was against the law. And so, as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so he didn't do that. The challenge here is to live under suspicion. Mary would walk through town and this would happen. Whispering behind her back. She's already pregnant. Did you hear that? No. Mary, yes. Mary. Live under suspicion. If you stand up for what's right in this culture, you'll live under suspicion. Matthew 2:13. After the wise men were gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. And the angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Here's a challenge. Protect yourself. It's more dangerous than ever to be a follower of Jesus in this culture. Protect yourself. One time, it says in Mark 3:20, one time Jesus entered a house and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. We need to live with misunderstanding. Mary thought, oh, what is going on with Jesus? Parents, have you ever seen your kids and go, oh, what did I do? Where did I go wrong with this one? You ever said that? Mary said that. And she thought, Jesus is crazy. I got to go take him home and straighten him out. She lived with misunderstanding. She didn't understand for a while. It became abundantly clear later on. And then this is a unique one. When they took Jesus to be circumcised, they met a couple of people. One of them was Simeon, Luke 2:34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Wouldn't that look great on a congratulations on having a baby card from Hallmark? And a sword will pierce your very soul. You'll never see that. That's what Simeon said. What's the deal with that? Get acquainted with pain. I'm sorry that I have to say that, but that's what will happen. Every mother here that gave birth understands pain in a way, and yet you have done it multiple times. And as men, we shake our hands and say, God bless you. Thank you. But why does a mother go through that? Why does a mother say, yes, I want to have a baby with all the pain involved? Because of the joy they're looking forward to. Do you remember holding a baby? A little baby? Newborn baby for the first time? Oh my word. It's worth it. Can you imagine giving birth to something new in your life? God does something new in your life in 2026. And you say, wow, God, this is amazing. God wants to birth that in your life. And we've got to feed on God's word to make that a reality. You need to be ready for God to use you in a way you never have. Mary said in Luke 1:46 and 47, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Here's the bottom line. Since joy is a future reality experienced in the present, focus on the new work God wants to birth in your life. Just as you think back and you treasure that memory of holding a young child, as you think back of that, just imagine the new thing that God wants to birth in your life. Many of you know the name Rick Warren. Rick was a pastor in Southern California for many years. And in 2013, his son Matthew committed suicide. And they got called to Matthew's house, and Rick and Kay were in the driveway, and they were waiting for the police to get there to break into the house to find out for sure what they knew in their heart. Matthew had struggled with mental illness and with issues, and they have tried everything. And they were talking, and he said, I just didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what to do. And Kay took her necklace, and she turned her necklace around, and she showed it to Rick. And on the back of her necklace was the title of the book she had written. And the book was Choose Joy. And she showed that to Rick. And Rick said, no, I can't do that now. Not now. I can't do that now. We all understand that. I can't have joy now. But on the cover of her book is the picture of a railroad track, if you've ever seen that book. And here's why. The railroad track depicts this. One track, there is always good things happening in your life. And the other track, there are always bad things happening in your life. And if you're anything like me, you think, well, one day it'll just be one track. But it never is. There's always difficult things happening and always good things happening. And it was the acknowledgement of that, that they saw God work in that situation. And so, what was the thing that was birthed? Rick and Kay Warren have a ministry now to work with people that struggle with mental illness. And they talk about the thing that nobody ever talks about in the church. And now there's a place, now there's people that have resources that can help. God gave birth to something new through difficult pain. And that's what he does every single time. There are always good things happening and always bad things happening in our lives. But which track do you focus on? What would our community look like if each one of us would choose to focus on joy, what God wants to do in the future? And yes, we're living in pain right now, but God wants to do something in us and through us that will change this community. If we all live like that, imagine the change that would happen in this community. Would you stand with me? As you close your eyes, bow your heads, I just want you to have a conversation with God. Give God permission to do whatever he wants in your life. Say, God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? Make a commitment to God to be in his word every single day. Say, God, I'll do it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you to transform us, to change us from the inside out, to fix our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, no matter what's happening around us, so that we can radiate love and joy to a hurting and desperate and hungry world. Thank you for what you're going to do in us, and then through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.